You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires.
Little Mike has three furlongs to go. Little Mike has made every yard. Wilcoxon still chasing Little Mike. Columbian is right there handy. Then on the outside, Cherokee Lord. Vertifor being asked to pick up. Followed through the inside by Crackerjack King Asari. Boisterous is fan wide. And then toward the inside is Rahi Strada. Followed by Treasure Beach End. Last away as they strained away was Wigmore Hall. Little Mike in the final furlong by five. Wilcoxon toward the inside. Crackerjack King on the outside. Asari. But inside the final 16th. Little Mike close to the finish. Asari's closing, but time's up. Little Mike made every yard a winning one. Asari was second. Bunch finished for third. Rahi Strada was there with Crackerjack King, Columbian, and Stanside was Treasure Beach. It's Little Mike's million.
Happy anniversary to our very own Del Romans, who 10 years ago took down the Arlington Million with the gutsy Little Mike that was John Dooley with the call. The Arlington Million is going to be run at Churchill Downs later today, but should it still be considered one of the great turf races on the racing calendar? Plus, is the strength of the Fasig Tipton yearling sales so far in 2022 a reason for optimism when it comes to the future of our sport? And 103 years ago today, Upset handed Man O' War the only loss of his brilliant career. Is that the most shocking result in racing history? We're going to discuss those topics and much, much more coming up on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans, turf writer Tim Wilkin, and special guest Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds. This show, all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business. And it all starts just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Well, excited to welcome in Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds as a special guest with Dale and Tim this week. Terry, you've been on a roll, my friend, so I thought it was appropriate that we say hello to you here this morning and welcome you to the fold.
Well, it's awesome to be on, Mike, and we've won a couple races, but the great honor is to be on the radio with you and Dale and Tim especially, our Albany buddies. So, yeah, looking forward to a great show.
All right, watch out for these guys. They can be a little tough, but I know you can handle it. All right, here we go. Kick it off. Question number one. After selling Arlington Park late last year and closing that historic track, Churchill Downs will be hosting a special Arlington Million card later today. That 11-race card includes both the Grade 1 Arlington Million and Grade 1 Beverly D, but due to concerns over the durability of Churchill's new turf course, two other notable turf events, the Grade 2 Secretariat and Grade 3 Pucker Up, are not going to be run. Horsemen have had to deal with several turf cancellations at Churchill since the new turf course was installed last October. So, guys, my question to you, and Dale, I'm going to come to you first, how concerned should we be over the future of that $10 million turf course, and is the Arlington Million still the Arlington Million?
You know, the Arlington Million is always going to be a special race. It's probably going to have to reestablish itself a little bit. It's the first million-dollar race ever in North America, and I think one of the top five races, at least on my list in the history of horse racing, is John Henry and the BART. If anybody doesn't remember that, the BART, they hit the wire so close nobody could tell. Even the network called the BART the winner. They went to commercial, and they came back, and John Henry was going into the winner's circle. And the great John Henry, the million, to me, is about him. He's the one that made the race as special as it is. It'll take a little while to get its roots like it did at Arlington, but I think it'll bounce back just fine. And, as far as the turf course at Churchill, anybody who thinks about it logically, they did a great job. They made a great base, a great drainage, a great irrigation system. They spent $10 million. They laid sod in October in Kentucky and tried to run on it in April. Now, where is your growth period during that period of time where the root system could get deep enough to hold that sod into place? And they brought the great Butch Trackman, Butch Lear, in. The guy had been there ever since I was can remember my childhood. They took care of Churchill's tracks, and he's been working on it this summer. And he told me the other day, once I talked to him about it, he said, all they got to do is just wait for the root system to come in, and this place will be fine. The only real concern is, are we using the right type of grass? They've got Bermuda down there. Is Bermuda going to be good enough in November when we run, or when we come back in the spring from the south? Is it going to be hardy enough in those periods? But as far as the overall of the turf, it'll be just fine. It needed time to sit. It needed the roots to get deep so it could hold that sod into place, and that will happen.
Timmy?
Well, I'm not going to say I don't see the Arlington Million being the Arlington Million if it's not being held at Arlington Park. I mean, you know, God bless Churchill Downs for bringing it back, but you know, it's always the traditional mile and a quarter. You know, wouldn't fit at Churchill Downs unless you start middle of the turn, and it's been cut to a mile and an eighth. It just doesn't feel to me like it's the Arlington Million. I mean, I'm sorry, I just don't feel that way, and. You know, with a new turf course, you know, is it safe? Is it going to be safe? I mean, it's only been there since October. I have my questions about that. I hope it's safe. See anything bad happen, but I just don't understand, you know, if the Arlington Million is not going to be run at Arlington Park, then it shouldn't be run anywhere, in my opinion.
Terry, what say you?
I think it's a legacy to Arlington, though, and I hope that it gets seen that way, and it will take it a few years to bounce back. And let me address the safety issue one second. They're going to run it on two different lanes. They're going to run the Beverly D on the outside
right.
and take the rail
right.
down when they run the Million. One trip over, it's going to be just fine. I actually had a horse yesterday gallop over the racetrack, and my rider said it felt a whole lot different than it did in the spring. We've been a little bit of a part of testing it, you know, a couple of times this summer and before they opened it. And my guy said it's going to be great for two races, and then we'll just see how it holds up after that.
Terry, from the owner's perspective, what say you?
Well, I like the legacy part. I think that's a very good point. I think of the Hollywood Gold Cup, and that kind of went through a couple of years where after Hollywood Park closed, and I think they had a lot of the same considerations, like what do we do? And now it's at Santa Anita, and I think people appreciate it, and it's a grade one for older horses at the beginning of the summer. So, look, we would love to have it be back at Arlington, and I'm sure a lot of people would love to be, you know, up at Arlington campaigning all summer. It's just not to be. We got to move on. So that's one. I think the second thing is, anytime you can offer like $1 million to people who are trying to earn a return on their horses that they paid good money for, and they're trying to develop their pedigrees, that's, you know, positive. So I certainly would rather see it on the schedule, albeit not at Arlington Park, than not. So that is the second thing. And I think anybody, you know, that's thinking about it, you know, it's not the ideal situation to run these good horses, or any horse, you know, for that matter, in a big race like this on a turf course that there has been some questions in the past. But I agree with Dale. Butch, I don't know Butch, but I know his reputation, and, you know, the fact that they paid to bring him in, and he lent his expertise to it, I think is a very good sign. So, look, overall, the Arlington Million and that day has always provided a day where the attention shifted to a certain extent away from Del Mar and away from Saratoga. And I think that's going to happen, of course, with the four-star Dave, not entirely away from Saratoga. But, look, it's a good thing. We're going to see what happens. I'm sure that they'll be paying attention. And if there are tweaks that need to be made, they'll be made.
Yeah, great points. And I think the one thing truly missing from this year's Arlington Million, other than the change in the distance from a mile and a quarter to a mile and an eighth, is the fact that we're not seeing the European participation that we're accustomed to seeing when the race has been held at Arlington Park. And maybe as that turf course takes roots and things develop and horsemen become more comfortable with it, we start seeing that again, maybe even into next year, which would be a welcome sight for horse players, for fans, and for horsemen as well. All right, question number two. And Terry, I'm actually going to start with you on this one, because this is right in your wheelhouse, my friend. The two-night Phasic Tipton Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale produced its customary fireworks this past Monday and Tuesday evenings, but the industry has never seen a Saratoga sale as strong as this year's edition. 143 yearlings sold for more than $66 million, topping the auction's previous gross record of $62 million, which was set in 2018. Both the average and median eclipsed their previous records as well. We had 14 yearlings sell for over $1 million or higher. And Terry, you were a big part of that. In an era of social media and instant news cycles where it seems like the gloom and doom of the thoroughbred industry often outweighs the positives, how do we look at the success of horse sales engaging the state of the industry as we know it today?
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I think social media has done wonders for our business. It gives a lot of people a voice. And I know the doom and gloom, and it's easy to sit down and to be snarky on social media. But there are plenty of good things that are talked about and issues, right? I've heard a lot of complaints in the decades that all of us have been involved in the business about, the business was run and the only voices were the blue bloods and the people at the top. Well, that's not the case anymore. And I think I do acknowledge that the positive aspect of that, that people can opine and put things out on social media. And you think about the things that have happened and the positive changes that have come about in part and oftentimes as a result of things that were discussed on social media. So, look, we have challenges in our business, and they're talked about on social media. And, we've had so many good things happen and so much progress been made in the last 5 years. My hope is that the progress that we make in the next 5 years will come close to the substantive advances that we've had in the last 5 years.
Dale, can we use the horse sales as a gauge for determining the state of the industry?
I hate to use the sales to gauge how well we're doing in the industry. I think the sales are a gauge of how well we're doing as a nation. When the economy's good and people are making money, the sales go up. With that being said, I'll say this sale over here, Boyd Browning and his crew did a great job of accumulating the best group of horses I've ever seen in Saratoga from top to bottom. I mean, usually you could separate them out by thirds, a third great horses, a third just average, and a third you might not care that much for. I think this sale, top to bottom, had the best group of horses I've ever seen up here. And I think that people are excited about the game. They have the money. I think that things are going good. There's a lot of positives for the game right now.
Timmy?
Yeah. I mean, you look at a feel-good story from the sale. You see Dwayne Lucas getting a $1.35 million Madonna Adoro colt. I mean, that's a feel-good, good story. I mean, that he's still in the game, playing at a high level after he's been sort of absent for a few years, and just the horses he's had on track at this meet at Saratoga. But when we're talking about the social media, the thing that really ticks me off about the social media are these people, the gutless people, the cowards that hide behind fake names and don't tell people who they really are, and then they spout off and say negative things about this game when they probably don't even have any business saying these things. And it gets a lot of traction. That just bugs the heck out of me. But as far as, does the sale gauge how well the industry is going? I agree with Dale. I don't know if it necessarily does. I think it's good. It's healthy, that you're having all these people buying these expensive yearlings, and it shows that the game is healthy. And continues to be so. And, but as far as the social media stuff, it just bothers me. And I just wish that these people that don't have the guts to put their own names on the thing would pony up and, show us their face.
All right, Timmy, I'm going to come to you first with this next topic. This is a listener-submitted topic. It comes from Craig via email, who says that he is very interested to know what the relationship is like between Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher, considering their consistent battles for the meet title at Saratoga. And taking it a step further, what have been some of the fiercest rivalries among trainers in racing history that you can recall? We'll go to Timmy first, and then Dale and Terry can chime in as they see fit. What do you think, Timmy?
Well, I mean, I don't think that, Todd and Chad, I mean, it's not like they're going out to dinner every night and being best friends. They're very competitive. They're competitive rivals. They both respect each other and what they do. I don't think that there's any – this isn't like the Boston Red Sox against the New York Yankees where it's a cutthroat, winner at all cost. I'm going to trip the guy and push him down if I have to just to win. I think every trainer, from what I've seen, really does respect the job that others do. Maybe is there some professional jealousy? Sure, maybe there is. I mean, people love to, they love to root against people that are on top. As far as, fierce rivalries with trainers over the years, I remember when the movie Secretary came out and Hollywood painted out a picture that Lucien Laurent of Secretariat and Shams Pancho Martin were fierce rivals. And that was not even close to the truth. There's rivalries on the track. Sunday Silence and Easy Goer was a great rivalry. But with Shug McGahee and Charlie Whittingham, were they fierce rivals? I don't think so. And same thing with Affirmed and Alidar with Barrera and John Veitch. I mean, I think the, as far as rivalries between trainers, I don't see it, but maybe I'm wrong. But that's, I just don't see that when I'm out every morning, I don't see that.
Dale, Terry, who wants it next?
I'll take that. I think first of all, this is one of the few industries in the world that you're standing with your best friends every day, doing the same job, but in the afternoon you're competing against one another. And so there is competition, there's little rivalries, but basically we all respect one another. Everybody's friends. Everybody thinks that Steve Asmussen and I hate each other, and we're actually very close friends. He passed me as all-time leading trainer at Churchill, and they assume we hate each other. So I tell a story. One time we both stopped at the gas station after the races one night in the fall at Churchill Downs, and we're standing in the gas station talking about our kids, talking about playing poker, and I look up, and there's like 20 people standing around watching, waiting for one of us to swing on the other one. And we never mentioned a racehorse. And the whole time we stood there just bullying back and forth with one another. I think that Todd and Chad are fine with one another. And I think there are rivalries in the game. I think one of the greatest ever talked about was if you went to the Mid-Atlantic in the 70s and 80s. There was Keen Leatherberry, Rick Dutrell Sr., and Buddy Delph. They were the kings of the Mid-Atlantic. And those three guys would swap horses back and forth and round, and it was a great rivalry between the two. And then today, Angel Cordero was telling me a story about Pancho, Frank Martin, and Oscar Barrera, and how they would claim back and forth with one and each other back and forth all the time, and try to one up one another. It was great to sit around with Angel and just talk about the old days today, but I thought that was pretty apropos. He brought that rivalry up to me today.
Terry?
Yeah, I'd say, Mike, I know a lot of trainers, and look, they're all competitive. You better be competitive if you're training racehorses for a living. And, you want to win every time you go out. So that is part and parcel of being in the sports world. So, look, I think people, they get a little bit older and they realize we're all in this together. So I don't see it. I agree with Dale. Like, it's amazing we do this 12 months a year and we're with the same people and we're constantly competing and beating each other. I think one of the things that I'm intrigued about is the competition of owners and as owners, especially the bigger stable. I see it in the partnership business, that we're competitive and we want to beat each other. We want to get the best horses. And so I think all three, owners, trainers, and jockeys, I think we're all competitive. We all want to beat each other. But, it's also about doing it the right way. And, you got to be a good loser in this business because you're going to get beat 2 out of 10 times if you're very, very good, even more if you're less than good. So I just think it's important to do it the right way and to take your licking and to take those in a professional way. And, you know, by and large, especially on the major circuits, I see people that are professional about it. You know, that doesn't mean that they're, you know, that you know, in private they're not, they don't have issues with people. But listen, in America, you think about it, the one thing that we can't accept and that, you know, by and large is not accepted is success. And so, you know, I heard somebody say the other day on the racetrack, if you want a friend, buy a dog, or get a dog. But, you know, that's harsh, but, you know, we're in a competitive business. And when you compete, there's only one winner. There's only one winner on every race. So, but I think that's a big part of the reason why we all love this industry so much is that we have a finish line.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great point.
I would say, Mike, that I think a group of horse trainers is one of the greatest fraternities in sports, and I've always been very proud to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well said. All right. We're down to about 3.5 or 4 minutes left here in the show, so I want to make this quick. We have to save time for our West Point of the Week, which wraps up the show in the final couple of minutes. So this is the 103-year anniversary of Upset defeating Man O' War, that shocking upset. It was Man O' War's only loss in 21 career starts. I'll just ask you this, guys. Is that the greatest upset in the history of racing? Timmy, what do you think?
Let me take that.
Okay, go ahead, Dale.
Let me take that first. I want to just say one thing. There's no other winner or loser that coined a term. The term upset is only – everybody thinks it's coincidence that a horse that beat Man O' War was named Upset. Upset became a term because Upset beat Man O' War. And when every time an underdog won after that, that was another upset. I don't think you'll find any other upset that has coined any term in sports.
Terry?
I think that the Derby winner in 2022 was as big of an upset as we've seen, especially knowing the context in which he actually got into the race. And I think it's a special time for all of us, you know, thinking back to the immediate reaction each one of us had that is in this business when we saw the 21 cross the wire in front in the Derby.
Yeah. Timmy, what do you think?
Well, I'm surprised Dale didn't mention the 2015 Travers when Key Knights beat American Pharoah, the Triple Crown winner. That's got to be one of them.
I knew you would do that for me.
Well, put the check in the mail. And I think when Onion beat Secretariat in the Whitney in 73. That's another one that's huge. There's a whole bunch of them, but those are the two
that
stick out to me.
That's a good one.
Yeah, some huge upsets. All right, just about 2 minutes left. We'll go ahead and wrap it up as we always do with our newest weekly segment, which, thanks to Terry, is called the West Point of the Week. It's all presented by our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. It'll give each of you an opportunity to make one final point before we wrap up the show. And don't forget that you can experience the lifestyle of thoroughbred racehorse ownership with the gold standard in racing partnerships for over 30 years. It is West Point Thoroughbreds. All you have to do is text HORSE to 66866 to learn about ownership. That is HORSE to 66866 to learn about ownership with West Point Thoroughbreds. Don't forget, message and data rates may apply. All right, guys, we're going to go Timmy, Dale, and we'll give Terry the final say on today's show. Timmy, what do you think? What's your parting shot, the West Point of the Week?
Well, if it's West Point of the Week and Terry Finley's on the show, I got to let people know that his real nickname is Captain America. He's known from that from a lot of people in the business, and people should realize that Terry Finley is the Captain America of horse racing. We got to get him a motorcycle and a shield.
Dale?
My West Point of the Week is Terry and I are very fortunate to have a very close friend in Angel Cordero. And the three of us and our three wives played pickleball together that day. And when I was over there, when we're at the court, it's amazing the number of people that want to come up and speak and just talk to the great one, Angel Cordero. And I know Johnny's rounding up on 1,000 wins at Saratoga, but the king of Saratoga is and will always be Angel Cordero.
Terry, take us home.
Well, I'll continue with that with Dale and the point Angel Cordero. I'll add Wayne Lucas, and I'll put that tandem. I was thinking about all the older sports stars in other industries. I love this business and the fact that, you know, both of those are still around, and you got Wayne Lucas trying to do great things with a group of horses, probably the best that he's had in the last 15 years. I think we all need to appreciate the fact that we're structured in a way where we can still have the Wayne Lucas trying to win races, and Angel Cordero still around and still active and active in our business. I think that's a blessing that we all need to appreciate in a big way.
Wonderful points, guys. Really appreciate it. Terry, great job. Dale, Tim, we'll do it all over again next week, my friends.
Thanks, Phil.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, guys. Don't forget, if you have a topic you want to hear debated on this show, like Craig did this week, simply email it to me, mike@horseracingradio.net, and I will be sure to work it in for you. That's I Ask, They Answer. It's all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.